Come on, y'all. Yeah! All right, I told y'all, man, it's awesome, man. We're glad that you're here. Thanks for joining us. Where are we going today in this message? I promise you it's going to be a good one. It's tough, but it's a good one. Luke chapter 7, one of the Pharisees asked Jesus to come into his home for lunch. Pretty cool little situation going on there, and Jesus accepted his invitation. A Pharisee's a very religious guy, one of the leaders in the time at the time. As they sat down to eat, a woman of the streets, a prostitute, comes in. She's there, and she brings an exquisite jar filled with expensive perfume. Can you imagine the scene? All these religious people gathered up, and here comes a lady of the night into that environment, which is, they don't like at that time. They weren't sure what women should be in there, but certainly someone like this, all right? So going in, she kneels behind Jesus at his feet, weeping with her tears falling down on his feet. She wiped them off with her hair, kissed them, and then poured the perfume on his feet. Well, in the middle of that, the host, the Pharisee, he comes out and he's like, hey, man, what's going on with this? He says, this proves that Jesus is no prophet, because if he really was sent from God, he would know who this woman is, what kind of woman she is. She is a sinner. Now, I don't know if this story has ever been told to you before, you've ever heard it before, but this is a powerful illustration of where we're going today. We have two things going on. We have religious judgment, because this is Pharisee land. This is where all the religious people have gathered, and they are really good at being ugly. Matter of fact, they're rude, to be honest. That's what I would call it. They're not very kind at all. And why I set it up with this story is because here is the scripture for today that really points out where we're going. Love is not rude, and it is not self-seeking. And here's the problem with religion and religious people, for that matter. It's very easy for them to get very self-centered. See, religion can be self-seeking and rude. And how in the world can I know that? Because I've grown up in church for a long time. I have been in the church since I was young, and then as a minister for over 30 years. And I know this to be absolutely true. Rudeness and self-centeredness, neither one of those things honor God. And the goal of this message and the goal of these stories that we're going to share in Scripture is Jesus is challenging even the religious to be full of love, not rudeness and not being self-centered. That's what Jesus is all about. So as we start going through these next little series, these next little sermons, you will see that this is the whole point of the message. If you don't mind, look at this, Luke chapter 7. Jesus spoke up, I have something to say to you. Then Jesus told the story to this religious guy. He said, hey, a man loaned money to two people. And after he loaned the money, it was about one had 500 pieces of silver, another had about 50. But then he looks at this religious leader and he asks him this. Neither one of them could repay it, so he kindly forgave them both, canceling their debt. So then he says, who do you suppose, there's the key word, loved him more after that? Well, the Pharisee's like, this, his name is Simon. He's like, man, I suppose the one he canceled the larger debt for. And Jesus is like, that's exactly right. Remember, this woman's at his feet. He's driving this point home. Jesus is just getting started and kind of trying to reel him in and help teach him a lesson. So as we go to the next part, he says, then he turned to this woman, and then he looked back at Simon, the religious leader. He said, look at this woman kneeling here. And when I entered your home, Simon, you didn't offer me water to wash dust from my feet, but she's washing them with her hair. In the culture at that time, that was the rule. That was what you did. When people came in, they had dirty feet from the sandals. If you were a great host, you would wash their feet for them. But Simon, the Pharisee, who knew the rules and knew what he's supposed to do, didn't do it. And this sinner is doing it. You didn't give me a kiss of greeting, but she's kissed my feet over and over again. Religious guy, he's like, man, you didn't even give me the kiss that you normally do. But here is this sinner, and she's doing it. Then he says, you neglected the courtesy of olive oil to anoint my head, but she's anointed my feet with rare perfume. Why is Jesus doing this? Because he's going, hey, religious person, you're so hung up on who she is and what she's going on that you're missing your own problems. You missed your own mistakes. So I tell you, Simon, he says, her sins, though there were many, have been forgiven, and she loves me very much. But a person who's been forgiven, right, only shows a little love if you've only been forgiven a little. So then Jesus looks at this woman, he says, hey, honey, your sins are forgiven. Now, this is a powerful illustration for all of us to learn from today. Because all of us in this room, especially if you grew up in church, you're all guilty of judging someone and not loving them. I remember growing up, and we went to a small Baptist church. I mean, Amber's in here. We were growing up in the same thing. She's a friend of mine and her family, the Looters. We were all growing up in these small little Baptist churches. And sometimes when you get in these small churches, people were real quick to point the finger and start judging. Then I started working in churches and traveling, doing music in all kinds of different churches. And boy, I can remember student pastor. I can remember being a student pastor, a kid walks in with a hat on, and all the deacons, they're all, you can't wear a hat in here. And they start judging, getting on to him, confronting the guy. And I'm like, hey, man, he's here. I'm like, why are we tripping out? At least the dude's here. I can remember being a student pastor, and girls would wear some, you know, not exactly the best outfits to church. And everybody would be talking behind them, behind their back, talking about them. I'm going, man, what's happening? What's going on? Why are we so judgmental? But there's no love. There's no kindness. It's just like, man, we're attacking people. And this is why I love Jesus. Man, trust me, look and learn from Jesus. Don't get hung up in religious people. Don't get hung up in like the whole idea of just the way it used to be. Follow the example of Christ. Example, Matthew 7, when you see, you can see the speck in your friend's eye, right? But you don't notice the log in your own eye. You're nothing but show-offs. First, take the log out of your own eye, and then you'll be able to see the speck in your friend's eye. What does he say? And he's like, hey, listen, man, why are you judging somebody else when you got your own problems? Jesus was really good at going, hey, listen, I'm trying to change how we do this thing. I don't want to be full of religion. I want to love you into a relationship because love is patient. I'm going to wait for you to change. Love is kind. I'm not going to be ugly to you. It's not angry. I'm not mad at you. It's not self-seeking. It's not rude. These are the passage of scripture in 1 Corinthians 13 that we've been talking about. It's very powerful. And this is why I love Jesus. When you walked into a room with Jesus, you felt valued when they were in his presence. Now think about it. When you grew up in church and you walked into a church and you didn't know anybody and they're super religious, did you feel valued? Or did you feel judged because you didn't look right, you didn't talk right, you didn't know all the lingo, you didn't know the songs, you didn't know how to walk through everything, and all of a sudden you go, man, I feel a little insecure. Jesus was great at, man, when the outsider came in, he was like, man, you are welcome. So let me ask you something. How do people feel around you when they get in your presence? A sinner, someone who's known for being full of sin. This lady was a prostitute, and Jesus is going, hey, man, you are welcome here. Pharisees, religious, not so much. You look at 1 Peter, this is a challenge for all of us. Show respect for, what's the word? I need it louder, theaters. Come on, what's the word?
Everyone.
That means everyone. Show respect for everyone. Well, what is respect, Justin? Well, here it is. Showing value and honor to others by the way you treat them and what you say to them, by your words and by your actions. Now, Jesus was so good at this, and this is the goal for us. You don't judge them. You don't make fun of them. You don't talk about them behind their back. You love them where they are, even in their sin. Now, I'm going to give you some homework. Typically, I don't give you homework, but I can't cover it today, man. We got a lot to get through today. But this homework assignment, we're going to look at a couple of passages of Scripture. And Jesus was great, and we're supposed to be like Jesus, right? Can I get an amen? That's the goal. So here it is, John chapter 4. It's the story of the woman at the well. If you don't know this story, you can look it up. He sat with her, he talked with her, and there was no judgment given to her. You go, well, what's the big deal? Well, she was a woman that had been married to multiple men. She was not living for the Lord. And in the middle of this interaction, you weren't supposed to talk to women again. And notice that each of these stories is a woman, that Jesus is reaching out to a woman. Why? Because in their culture, a man wasn't supposed to talk to a woman. Man, they were not quite of the same value. You were let put down. But this is why, if you're a woman today in this modern world, why you love Jesus? Jesus stood up for women. He showed value to women in a culture that many times overlooked them or looked down on them. This is why I love him. And especially a woman who's, quote, in sin in John chapter 4, no judgment, he talks to her and actually told her about worship. And she was the first to hear that he was the Messiah. Jesus did that to a woman in sin. John chapter 8, how about the adultery woman? The woman caught in adultery, everybody's getting ready to stone her, they're getting ready to throw the rocks at her, and Jesus defends her. Like, think about it. Think of the sin that's really in our culture. Think of the sin that everybody's so mad about, ready to take people out. Jesus would stand up and defend the person. Don't believe me? John chapter 8, I'll give you the ending of the story. All those men who had the rocks ready to stone her, when he says, hey, who here doesn't have sin? Pick up the rock, let them go. And they have to drop the rocks and they walk off. Then he says, hey, where'd they all go? Did no one judge you guilty? She answered, broken, embarrassed. No, they didn't. then I don't judge you either. Now, you don't like it. If you're religious, you want to judge people. You think you know the rules. You think they deserve it, and they don't. But Jesus coming in is like, don't be rude. Don't try to be self-seeking because it's easier on you, man. I'm challenging you to love, and that's powerful. Go and sin no more. Yes, there's going to be a challenge to sin no more, but he greets them. He loves them. He encourages them in their sin. He doesn't just say, hey, you can't come to me unless you got it all together. He says the opposite. And self-righteous religion is very different from a loving relationship. This is why people don't like the churches, because the church, we're supposed to be like Christ. We've represented self-righteous, religious, judgmental behavior. But then we miss somehow, I don't know how, but Romans 8:1, there is no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. So when you belong to Jesus and you give your life to Christ, listen to this. This is why you gotta love him. You cannot be condemned any longer. So if you're struggling with sin or you got something in your life, man, don't get hung up in religion. Look to the person of Jesus, because he doesn't condemn you. He loves you, and his kindness brings you to repentance. This is what makes it awesome for me, is like we as a church get an opportunity to show that. So can you imagine if we could treat people like Jesus? Think for a second. Like, what if the church, me, you, when you went to work, school, home, you just treated them like Jesus? Can you imagine what it would be like? Last year, we went and saw a movie. I'll put the poster on the screen for you. It's called Jesus Revolution. Now, the reason I love this movie is because it takes place in the 70s, and my life group went. We didn't know what to expect, and sometimes Christian movies are like, it's all right. This one was really, really good. Maybe because I grew up in the church in the 70s, and I understand how people would judge people, and people would make fun of people, and they had all these different things going on. And here is this story of a pastor in the middle of that conflict trying to reach the hippies. I don't know if y'all know this or not. They don't always dress right. They're kind of known for marijuana, okay? They're not exactly the most, you know, godly people. But this pastor was committed to trying to reach them and love them. And guess what? The religious didn't like it. I'm going to take you back into this movie, into this one scene, so you can see what it looks like when you really are like Jesus to those who are the unlovely. Watch.
These kids are runaways, most of them. They got drug addictions, medical issues.
And they need our help.
Yeah, but Chuck, I mean, they need to go home. They're making our congregation uncomfortable.
Well, maybe they should be uncomfortable. Maybe we all should. Maybe it's my job to make us uncomfortable. And I haven't been doing it.
Chuck, stop. This is enough. This is a house of worship. And yes, we expect a certain level of dignity here. These girls are wearing halter tops, and half of them aren't even wearing shoes.
They're staining the new shag carpet with their bare feet.
A carpet? Yeah. Oh. Yeah, let's be sure to save the carpet.
You keep this up, and you're going to drive away the only contributing members that we've got. You hearing me now?
Loud and clear.
What is going on?
Stick that right over there on that towel. And this other one here. There we go. Yeah. Baptize these feet in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. There you go.
Welcome to church.
Hello, you. Let's have that foot, please. This is terrific. Okay. Place them both on that towel, and then step on into church. Welcome.
Thank you.
Hello, young lady. How are you? Let's have that foot. Have that other foot.
Why don't you go sit next to that fella in the cantaloupe jacket? Good to see you.
Thank
Enjoy.
You.
Welcome to church.
Thank you.
Hello, young lady. Well, last year I had the privilege of visiting New York City. I'm not getting a tourist. I paid a visit to the Statue of Liberty, and I read those famous words. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses, yearning to breathe free. And as I read those words, I thought, well, that's Christianity, isn't it? It's the essence of it. An invitation to the broken. Jesus was very friendly with the outcasts. In Revelation 22, it says, let the one who can hear say, come. Let the one who is thirsty, come. Let the one who desires take the waters of life freely.
Come on, y'all. I remember sitting in the movie with our life group, and I was like, man, this is why Simple Church started. And maybe it's been too long, maybe you've forgotten, but let's don't be full of judgment. Let's be full of love. No matter what they look like, no matter what their background is, no matter what job they do, no matter what sin they're in, be humble and gentle. Be patient with each other, making allowance for each other's faults because of your love. What a difference it would make if Christians were known, if the church was known. And listen, we can't change everything, but we can start with me, we can start with us. Because every one of us in here, we're going to make mistakes, a lot of them. So remember this, you ready? More than anything, keep loving each other actively. Why? Because love covers a multitude, a many of sins. There's only so many things that you can really grab a hold of that will change your life. This is one of them. If you're a religious person, if you've grown up in church and you're struggling with all this, say, Jesus, come in my life and change me. I want to be more like you. And how you will be more like him is when you are active in love. And guess what? Love listens. If you want to be active, listen to understand where somebody is, what they're going through, what their circumstances, what their situation. We're so guilty of being rude and over-talking people, and I can be there. I talk a lot. So God, change me on this. I don't want to over-talk people. I need this. I need to be reminded just to sit and listen and help people understand. I hear you. And if there's a parent in here that's in the sporting world or you have kids in whether it's baseball or soccer or football, whatever it is, here's a little reminder for you. Put this little image because this came up as a post. You are a cheerleader. How many people of us are hollering at refs, hollering at coaches, hollering at kids? How about just being not rude? How about being calm, quiet, kind, not angry? When we're in these environments, we don't get a pass. This is who we are. This is what we're called to be. I've never heard one person ever say, that person is so rude, all they do is listen to me. Never happens. Remember this. Everyone should be quick to listen and slow to speak. Justin, put that in your heart. The word listen, I heard this quote, the word listen contains the same letters as the word silent. Can I get an amen? Sometimes you just got to sit and listen. And when you listen, it shows value. Jesus was so good at the woman at the well. He just listened. Think about that. Like listening defined, if you really want to know what that looks like in our modern culture, it is showing respect with your ears. It is letting people know, I care about you. I care enough to listen. I thank God for those men and women in my life who listen to me. Some of them in this room, some of them in this church, some in this community. Thank you. Help me to be more like you. If you want to see listening demonstrated in our culture, good news is, here's your Steve Hartman. You've been waiting for it. Roll it.
In St. Petersburg, Florida, when the sun rises, Al Nixon sets for his impromptu therapy sessions.
How have you been?
Are you surprised at what people tell you?
Not anymore.
Al isn't a trained therapist.
I've been concerned.
He actually works for the city water department.
He's dismissing me. Yeah.
But in these early morning hours, he's a trusted confidant and counselor to whoever passes by.
And I wrote to him and I said,
Renee Rutstein is a regular.
He knows everything about me.
Did you feel weird sharing all your secrets to a guy on a bench?
No, because he'll never judge me and he always shoots me straight.
He's not judgmental and he takes you for who you are.
Bernadette Dorset Mills says she has never met a wiser man.
He's like the guiding force.
At the same time, I don't hear you talking a lot.
No.
I just see a lot of nodding. Like you're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. A lot of mm-hmms.
Listening is the number one skill all mankind needs to know how to do very well.
Mm-hmm.
A skill he has clearly mastered.
Mm-hmm.
When Al started coming here 7 years ago, the therapy was for him. He needed a quiet place to clear his head, and the last thing he wanted was to hear other people's problems. But then a woman he'd never met told him something he'll never forget.
She said, "Every day I see you, I know everything is going to be okay." And that made me realize that when you speak to someone or you smile, you let them know I value you, and people pick that up.
When I walk by, sometimes, you know, I don't even get a chance to chat with him because there are other people waiting in line.
In appreciation for always being there, Al's faithful put a plaque on his bench. To a loving and loyal friend and a confidant to many, forever and always.
That was powerful.
How can such a simple plaque be that powerful?
When you express to someone, you matter to me.
They gave you back what you gave them.
Everyone needs an Al.
Good morning, sweetie.
Even Al.
Have a great day.
You too.
Come on, y'all. Oh, that's so good. When you walk into a room, when you're in the community, are you judgmental? You heard them. They said, man, he doesn't judge us. He takes time to listen. And as a believer in Christ, as a follower of Jesus, this is the call. Love is not rude. It is not self-seeking. 1 Corinthians 13:5. Remember, this is the call for us. If we're going to be active in love, as we saw in that scripture earlier, it's listening. It's also giving. You already know this. You've seen the scripture before. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. Are you a giver or are you a taker? Do you listen? Do you understand? Do you pass judgment, point the finger? Or do you go, man, listen, I don't understand what they're going through. I'm just going to love them where they are and let God change them. So that anyone, you see that right there underlined? Anyone. It could be anybody that believes in him. I don't matter what their sin is. It doesn't matter what you think about them. But maybe the only thing that's keeping them from Jesus is the way we've been treating them. And what if we could change that? And they could have eternal life because we demonstrated what it really is about. The first story, when I talk about giving, it's giving your ears, giving your time, giving your expensive perfume like the prostitute. She offered her best to Jesus. It's not about what's in it for me. It's the direct opposite. This is the whole thing. This is what we said from the beginning of Simple Church. It's not about you. It's not about me. How can we love this community, love the sinner? Love is not self-seeking. How can I serve my spouse, my coworker, a stranger, this community, this world? One way you can do that is this Easter, we'd love for volunteers to not be rude, and we'd love for you to be a part of that team. We'd love for you to share love with people who come on Easter, and maybe that's the only time they come. Well, sign up and be a part of it. Why? Because when you do that, you help someone to take the focus off of yourself. Well, how else can I help someone? What else can I do? Well, today we have a special treat for you. We love helping people in this community. And the Go Bald organization, a bunch of students at LSU Medical Center, they got a great opportunity for you. And I want this story to resonate with you because guess what? We can be a part of giving to make a difference right here in our community. Watch.
Hi, I'm Grace. I'm a second year medical student here in Shreveport. And I'm also a cancer survivor. When I was 5 years old, I had a brain cancer called an ependymoma. When I was in kindergarten, I was having these headaches. The doctor ran all kinds of tests and eventually sent me up to Memphis, Tennessee, where I was a patient at St. Jude Children's Research Hospital. They did a brain surgery and thankfully they got the entire tumor out. And so the second part of my treatment included 31 consecutive days of radiation therapy. And it was super important during that time to be close to campus, and which was why my family was very appreciative that we lived literally 5 minutes from the campus so that in the case that any side effects appeared or anything went wrong, the doctors were right there to help. And so after all the treatment and all the physical therapy, I can finally say that I'm nearly 18 years cancer-free. At some point, I had to decide what to do and how I was going to let my cancer experience affect me and affect the things that I do in the future. And so being in medical school allows us the opportunity to find different ways to give back to the community. And so one of the ways that I chose to give back is to become a part of the Go Bald organization. And this year, Go Bald has made the transition to start fundraising for the McDade House, which will be a housing opportunity for cancer patients that have to travel here to Shreveport to get their treatment to save their life. And so that's super important to me because, like I said, my family traveled to Memphis, Tennessee from Baton Rouge, and we were able to stay in free housing, which is a similar opportunity that the McDade House will offer. And it was just super important to my family to be in that sense of community and just have one less thing to worry about. And so Go Bald's final event of the year, Shave Day, is coming up on March 14th. And at Shave Day, many of the medical students involved in Go Bald get together to celebrate a year of fundraising and also to cut their hair or shave their heads in honor of cancer patients. And so I myself will be cutting my hair this year, and I challenge you to help me fundraise in this effort. For every $1,000 I raise on my Shave page, I will cut 1 inch off of my hair, capping it at 10 inches. So let's see if we can raise $10,000. And I just wanted to thank you all again. Thank you to the Simple Church for being involved in the community and helping us to fill this need that many of our cancer patients experience and that I know my family truly appreciated when I was going through my cancer treatment.
Love is not self-serving. You can see that in Grace's face, her words, her experience. She is taking her hardships, her challenges, and yes, even her hair to love others sacrificially. How awesome would it be if together we helped her meet that pledge? For every $1,000 given, she is gonna cut an inch of her hair on March 14th. You can join us. You can give through the QR code on your screen right now or through our app or website. We will be there on March 14th to see how many inches of hair she will cut. Thank you, Grace, for your choice to live your life in service to others.
Great job, everybody. Take that QR code. Why does Simple Church do this? Because we listen. What's going on in our community? We know, man, these are serious needs. We can have a home right here to help serve people in our community. Help us raise some money to do it. And we have to give. Love actively gives. Thank you, Jesus, for giving to us. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you that we have an opportunity to change the way the church is perceived, the way you are perceived. Lord, let it start with us. Help us to be full of love, not rude, not self-seeking, but givers, listeners. Help us, God, to walk out of here and be like you, whether it's in the workplace, the school, home, wherever it may be. And God, when we're messing it up like I do, I ask you to forgive me. I ask you to come into my life, Lord, on a daily basis. Somebody's never prayed that. Let them do it right now. Come into my life, Jesus. I don't want religion, but I want a relationship with a God like you through the person of Jesus. Forgive me my sin. Change me and help me to live for you when I walk out of here. You can do it. You can do it, Lord. I thank you for changing our lives. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Can I get an amen out there? Come on, y'all. Come on.